Biomat.
Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children.
A little snippet of the famous MLK speech, Martin Luther King Jr., I Have a Dream. How far have we come since those days? We're going to talk about it in our next segment here on America Tonight. Welcome to the show, Kate Delaney, hanging with all of you across this great nation. And while Martin Luther King Jr. wanted equality for all and pushed against racism and to unite all of us, frankly, as Americans, we see what's now happened in our political process and some of the fighting that's gone on between the Republicans and the Democrats, which has the ratings in the tank for Congress. And I know that's not a shocker to any of you, but worth bringing up right at the top of the show here off the get-go, because we're always talking about how we're stuck in gridlock in D.C. and it affects all of us. Here on this overnight show, we like to talk about the fact that you have a voice, and it seems we don't have a voice too often when it comes to the political process, and the problem is the people that represent us, I think, in some cases. Only 11% of Americans approve of how Congress is handling its job. That is a new low one. This is a CNN ORC International poll that was just released. I think it's one of the lowest that we've seen. The last time I can remember it being like 14%, and that was in August. And, of course, that was at the tail end of the debt ceiling debate, which was an unpopular agreement between the Dems and the Republicans, and you knew that it was going to be dismal. So the poll is showing us that 86%, for whatever you think of polls, disapprove of how Congress is handling its duties. Here in America Tonight, I would say about 98.8% of you would say that that's exactly how you feel. I might find one or two of you that feel happy with what's happening in Congress, and we go back to the whole logjam thing. Everybody's trying to get a handle on what's happening with the Republicans, because we know it's Obama, naturally, on the Democrats' side, as he's the incumbent president, and he's going to be the guy that's waiting in the wings for whoever the Republican nominee is. And more it's looking like Mitt Romney, but a lot of people want to not face that fact. I talked to a couple of pretty good Republican insiders today, and we're heading to Washington, by the way, at the tail end of the week, and talked to them about how things were shaping up. And truly, this push for Mitt Romney that is starting to come from a lot of different corners who weren't necessarily backing him before. Was it real, or was it just some of the nonsense, some of the conversation that we've been hearing? And I was told it's pretty real, that more people are jumping on the Romney bandwagon, feeling like it's better to back Romney, get this thing going, than splinter things even further. Now, Romney, because he's been pushed on whether or not he's going to release his tax records, it says he's going to do that in April. He said he'd be happy to do that if he becomes the nominee for president. He was really nailed during the debates on Monday, and he's saying that he's looked at the campaigns of the past Republican nominees who released their tax info around tax day, which is April 15th. And, of course, It's no secret that Romney has millions of dollars, and he earned millions of dollars at a venture capital firm. So the Texas governor, Rick Perry, who's still in this race at this point, is saying Romney should follow the other guys on the stage who were on the stage and release the returns before the nomination is decided. So why wait? So this is the first of two debates ahead of the South Carolina primary, which is on Saturday. Romney won the Iowa and New Hampshire contest. And, of course, he is the front runner. And you can say what you want, ladies and gentlemen. Like I just started off with the polls on Congress about polls, but there is a reason why pollsters get rich, by the way, because usually they're pretty darn right on. The small sampling, looking at it for likely voters on the Republican side, and right now those polls are pointing in the direction of Mitt Romney. Like I said, a lot of people don't want to hear this. People in my own life, I have a girlfriend who insists it's probably Gingrich. I have a father-in-law who was just incensed to think that I would suggest that my insiders are saying it's Romney, it's Romney, it's Romney, because he thinks Ron Paul, and he's a very staunch conservative, and he wants really no parts of Romney, but will go the Romney way if that's the only choice that he has. And then there's this guy named Ron Paul, who is doing quite well, by the way, if you look at Iowa, if you look at New Hampshire, and now what's going to happen in South Carolina? Because one of the things that Ron Paul talks about is saying that he's going to make deep cuts to the military budget, even though in South Carolina there are a lot of people that make their living the military way. He was grilled during the debates on his position on military spending, and he's calling for closing bases overseas. We know that reducing spending on the whole military industrial complex, that's what he houses it under. And he says he wants to protect, though, military jobs domestically. And he's right about this. He says there's a difference between military spending and a strong national defense. And I agree with him there. I think people didn't listen to, as he dove deeper to what he was saying. He says conservatives should insist on cutting spending on military projects, not just domestic spending, but that the overseas stuff should be cut before trimming federal jobless benefits for the long-term haul of the unemployment. You know, the only thing I would say about that is, I'm sorry, we would definitely disagree on Iran. If he thinks we can have a conversation with Ahmadinejad, he's dead wrong on that. There is no compromise. There is no conversation, sorry, to be had with that nutbag. It's not happening. After all the things Ahmadinejad has rubbed in the faces of Americans, but he doesn't want any part of that. He's the joker. He's taunting us. So that's not even something that I believe could legitimately happen with Iran. And there's still all that maneuvering that's going on in the Strait of Hormuz. People are not paying attention to it, but it is happening. There is massive war games tension big time in Iran. Massive. In fact, Israel postponed some of what they were doing because they were concerned about how it would appear, I believe. And so even the U.S. too, they had something scheduled, but they decided they were going to not push the tension factor anymore in toward Iran over this whole nuclear program thing. There was a military exercise that the U.S. and Israel was going to take part in called the Austere Challenge 12. That was going to happen in April, and the idea was to improve defense systems and the cooperation between U.S. and Israeli forces, but they've ixnayed that. No way. That's not happening. All right, we're talking more about Martin Luther King, diving a little deeper, coming up next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power, a gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Ready to save while getting prepared? Then you're ready for the winter sale at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Take advantage of the incredible savings on all items at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Portable AM, FM, and shortwave radios from $19.95. American Red Cross emergency radios and Kato radios from $28.95. Solar lanterns from $22.95. Solar flashlights, two for $16.95. Hand crank LED hurricane lanterns and flashlights from $8.95. Be sure to check out the flexible solar panels to power your emergency and survival gear. Every order over $75 will receive a solar-powered flashlight absolutely free. So get prepared this winter by visiting 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. That's 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
Get beside me, I want you to love me. I'm surprised you never told before that you love me.
All right, we started off the show with a little bit of the dream speech that I think everybody should hear as they move through history classes across the nation, so that I think every Martin Luther King Day we should hear that, and people should really listen to the world or the words and what Martin Luther King was trying to say to the world, not just, I think, to the United States at the time. The difference that Martin Luther King made and what he was pushing for and the courage that he showed to speak out when he was speaking out. But where are we now? What is happening now in this country? We've talked about this a bunch on ATN. So Ronald Stemphill joins us now. He's the author of Martin's Dream, A Journey Onto the Promised Land. And Ronald has a psychology degree and a master's of divinity. I love that. Hey, Ronald, thanks so much for coming on this special day here on America Tonight. Thanks.
Well, good evening, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Tell me, before we dive into this, just what, when it's MLK Day, when that day arrives, how do you mark it? How do you celebrate it? How big of a day is this?
For me, I came to this country 27 years ago, originally from Haiti, but I assimilated into the American culture right away. And for me, when it comes to MLK Day, it just gives me a sense of freedom, a sense of worth, that I perhaps would not have had had he not done what he did.
How do you think the other people can, because you appreciate that dream as you just described to us and coming here and what it meant to you. How can other people push this ball forward? How do we move this boulder, Ronald, and realize that this dream is still possible? Because I think some people don't think it is.
Well, this is a great question, Kate. And I think the way people really could push the dream, I have to go back to all the way back to President Lincoln when he spoke at Gettysburg, and he mentioned the fact that we ought to be dedicated to the unfinished work started by the Civil War. Now, this is where MLK picked it up. He wanted to continue on the legacy started by President Lincoln in caring about people and what because this is what America is built on, freedom for all, so that everyone can go ahead and enjoy the liberty, the life, and the pursuit of happiness guaranteed under the Constitution.
But here's the thing, and you know people are, as they listen to you and they can appreciate it, they're saying, ah, but look what's happening right now. We're working too many jobs. We've got poverty in this nation. We have all these other injustices that we feel that are holding us down. So how do you, I guess, emotionally get there, make yourself get there?
Well, the reason I went back all the way to President Lincoln is because also President Lincoln mentioned in one of his speeches before he became president, the house divided, that America was divided. A house divided cannot stand. But what we realize is even from the time of Lincoln, there was another house that was also divided, and it was the Christian church. Now, I'm not mentioning this because I am a preacher of the gospel, but this is a reality in our lives. Because God is very much present in all of this, and God is about himself and about people. And that reminds me of John 3:16. God so loved people. Thibault carried that message very well. And that message is so relevant throughout time and to eternity that it started from Lincoln, and today that's what we're seeing. We're not living this type of life where people matter more than anything else. Because most decisions that are made in our country, in our nation, they're not made based on people, but on other things, on politics, on economics, on everything else except people.
Do you think that's part of the problem, that there's a disconnect, Ronald, between the community and reaching out to your neighbor and even your own family, because we're so wrapped up in things, and money, and we're too busy.
You get it right on, Kate. That is the problem. That is the main problem. We have departed from caring for people. Even families don't matter as much as they used to be 50 or 60 or 100 years ago. And it's a deplorable condition under which we operate, we live today. But my take on this is that I believe that I don't know if you're a Christian or if I'm sure you have many listeners who may be Christian listening to this. Unless the church comes together to really deal with this issue, we're going to be talking about race issues forever. And I'm sure many people are tired of it. I don't think it's a conversation we want to have every MLK Day, but we keep having it because there's an unfinished work.
Yeah, and so the more the conversation spreads, the more chance that we can end the conversation and move forward.
We're hoping to do so.
Yeah.
And another thing that's happening is we also take our national icons and we idolize them to the point that we celebrate the icon to the expense of the message they carried with them.
Mm.
But words matter. Last year, our governor, Nathan Deal, he talked about how much words matter from the pulpit of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. And he said this, I quote, "Words matter, and if the words are founded in truth, they will stand until society can catch up, until society comes to realize that truth does not change, and words which proclaim the truth will stand the test of time." We haven't got to the truth of that. I believe our society has not caught up yet to the message, to the great message, and all the great messages of these people, of Dr. King or President Lincoln.
And so that's what you explored in your book. You explored that journey.
What I did in my book, in Martin's Dream Journey Onto the Promised Land, I created a modern day character named Martin, who lives out Dr. King's dream and who carries out his legacy. But it's a legacy rooted in faith, love, truth, and pragmatism. It's a book that will make you really think real hard about what's happening today. It will make you laugh. It will make you cry. It will really, I would say, trigger a whole lot of emotions in you.
Yeah, I like that. That sounds like a must-read book. I'd be remiss not to ask you this. Haiti, sure. A lot of people in America poured out their hearts and money and anything they could do to help the people in Haiti, but I understand still it's just not enough. It's pretty rough still after all these years, after the earthquake. Have you talked to any people in Haiti as to what's happening now?
Yes, I have gone twice there since after the earthquake. And believe it or not, prior to the earthquake, I had not set my foot in the country for 21 years.
Ooh.
But after the earthquake, my heart just melted, and I had to go back and see what it was like. It was like a war zone. I've never been to war, but I've seen war on TV. And it was disastrous. But like you said, even after 2 years, things are still not better. Now think about it. Haiti was not even as good as it should have been before the earthquake. Now it's even worse. And the rebuilding effort is not really going that fast, to say
right.
the least.
Right, so they need help.
Yes, lots of it.
Yeah.
Lots of it.
Ronald, it was a delight to meet you and talk to you here on America Tonight. Good
luck
with the book.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Ronald.
Well, thank you, Kate. And if your listeners would like to really ask questions, they can go to my website, www.vibingmedia.com. And I also have the book on Amazon as a Kindle.
All right. Get it on Kindle. Thanks, Ronald.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, Kate. Good night.
Good night. All right, interesting, and you heard what he said, having not stepped foot back in Haiti, and that then going back and seeing what we've heard from other people that we've had on the show before, how there's so many cycles of things that happen that often you forget the disaster, you get disaster weary, and you forget what happened before that. Coming up around the bend here on America Tonight, odds and ends, some things that are happening across this great nation and elsewhere outside of the borders, that crazy, crazy cruise accident in Italy. You've got to be kidding me, some of the new details that are emerging. We got them.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients. Aids in controlling yeast infections. Is never freeze-dried. And uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com. Spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig.
Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Here in Washington, D.C., with me, Kate Delaney, and of course, we're coast to coast and all the nooks and crannies in between and the flyover states. And we're pleased to be sitting with Elizabeth Kucinich. You might recognize her name. That is a recognizable name, I must say. It's a unique name. Not like Delaney. You know, how many Irish people, how many Delaneys are there? You know, so. But Kucinich, I think you know. And you know her husband's Dennis. But she has her own unique, I think, place when it comes to healthcare and some other things. She's the director of public affairs for Physicians Center for Responsible Medicine.
Physicians Committee. Yes.
Yeah, and that's huge. We talk about this all the time. Elizabeth, first of all, welcome.
Thank you.
We appreciate the time because we know by the end of this thing, you might not have a voice.
I'm getting a bit crackly now, actually.
We got to go get her a lozenger. So give me the elevator pitch. So the listeners know, if we've boiled it down, what specifically do you work on?
I work on really looking at the prevention and reversal of disease through nutrition, so through our food choices. And the main choices that I advocate are plant-based, so removing the meat and dairy and going nice and heavy on all foods that come from plants, be they nuts or beans or whole grains, fresh fruits and vegetables, all good. And I work with amazing physicians who've done lots and lots of work with people and also a lot of work in their research, literally reversing disease and also helping us to prevent it.
And it's got to be hard, though, because, you know, Americans like their beef, like their cheesesteaks, like their hamburgers, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they do, but they also don't really like to be unhealthy and they don't like to feel sick. and overweight or unhappy and depressed and all of these things that are happening, don't like to like it with, if they're just diagnosed with diabetes or heart disease or high blood pressure or cholesterol, all of these things are great, great concerns. And so what I try to do, it's not, I'm not telling people what they should or shouldn't eat, I'm just suggesting that there is an alternative way if they want to help, or if we want to help ourselves to remain healthy, or if we're in poor health to get healthier, then to go the plant-based food route is the way to go. And I work with some amazing physicians. Dr. Neil Barnard has done lots and lots of research into the reversal of type 2 diabetes. Dr. Esselstyn at the Cleveland Clinic, he works with patients with heart disease and puts them immediately on to a plant-based diet. Like I say, no meat, no dairy. And the results are extraordinary. You know, the body has still the power to repair itself if we give it half the chance to do so.
You know, it's interesting. And so you're a vegan, and obviously so is Dennis, and this is the way you live, and you're used to it, and you understand it, and you see the health benefits of it. Did you grow up with a plant-based diet?
Well, my mother, she had Crohn's disease when I was very, very young, and she almost died. And the doctors wanted to do some extremely big, horrible surgery on her, and she said, actually, I don't think that's the way to go, and she started to study nutrition. So I saw the transition myself with my mother, how she went from the brink of death to optimal health and now runs her own business, which is actually a healing and teaching center that helps other people with their own journeys. And health and life and everything is a journey, and we all have our experiences. None of us are judging one over the other as to the choices that we make, but it's wonderful when you find something that works to be able to share it with people.
Do you think, so to get the word out, and there are lots of people that are vegans in the United States, there are a lot of good cookbooks out there. In fact, I've got three girlfriends who are in great shape, have great health, and they're pulling me in that direction.
Wonderful.
And you can, I have to be honest, you can see the difference of, like, eating Brussels sprouts with oil on it, where you cook it, you know, healthy oil, and it's crunchy, because probably like a lot of Americans, there's sort of two routes that we take. I think you're either a sugary person or you like salt and crunchiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something about that. And I wouldn't have believed it until I started to go down that road. And I am seeing amazing results of, and just looking for those foods, I think that's the biggest problem. That's the biggest problem for me, busy person.
Mm.
I have my excuse, and the excuse is always, I haven't eaten all day long, which is terrible, which is what happened to me. I fell into that trap.
Yeah, I'm going to grab the first thing.
Yes.
But you know what? You're really worth looking after, because nobody else is going to do it for you. And we can't say that the healthcare system has to do it or that somebody else is responsible. We're responsible. And if we schedule our day, as many pressures as we have, if there's 5 minutes, we really need to try to treat ourselves wisely, even if it's grabbing a banana, an apple, some kind of healthy bar that we can pick up, a bag of nuts, some dried fruit, something like that that you can pick on then.
And do you think we'll see that maybe more that, I mean, of course, it's that battle with restaurants that we've seen with calories. I'll tell you a great example. I was recently in the Philadelphia airport, and Philly had a big battle about trying to curb type 2 diabetes and obesity. That's a big thing for the mayor there. And so they have all these restaurants with pizza and unhealthy things and whatever, but the calories are listed.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw grown men walk away from slurk away from a pizza place looking for something else because they saw 1,000 calories just for a burger.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's not even, you haven't eaten anything the rest of the day.
You're not full up, and you're just going to have to continue eating.
Oh.
And that's the problem. We've got really calorie-dense foods that aren't filling us up. And the trick, really, you know, to a vegan diet, plant-based choices, however you want to phrase it, is that you can eat a lot more of them, and you can get really full, and you can make the most delicious foods. And if anyone's interested, you know, go to the web, type in your favorite dish, and then type vegan next to it and find a recipe to see how you can translate that into something healthy. Like I make Dennis loves cheesecake, so I make some really good different kinds of cheesecakes made from tofu, and you blend it all down, and it's as creamy can be, and you don't have the saturated fat, you don't have, you know, the cholesterol and all of that. those, all the calories associated with traditional way of making things.
And people wouldn't necessarily know that. If you did a blind taste test, you know, the colas were famous for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it Diet Coke or is it Pepsi? If you did that, I bet most people wouldn't recognize that they were eating tofu, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, no, no. Keys to the flavor.
Yep, absolutely.
And anybody out there who loves cooking, you know, this is great. There's some tremendous cookbooks out there.
Then you can get, like, clean, I think there's one, Clean Food Diet or something.
Mm-hmm. There's lots and lots of them. And the president of PCRM, Neil Barnard, like as I mentioned before, he's written many, many books on different topics from reversing a heart disease to, reversing diabetes through to weight loss. And each of the books has recipes in them as well. So it takes you through the story of how you can help yourself.
Do you think, and you've seen amazing changes and you've talked to these doctors, mm-hmm. and obviously you know that. Do you think if we can... It's about the push for the wellness. If we get more people to realize that, do you think we'll see dramatic changes in numbers of, especially you said it, and I mentioned it, the type 2 diabetes,
mm-hmm.
which is so worrisome?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is that people are not aware, not educated. Doctors aren't taught this. They're not taught much about nutrition when they're going through their years and years and years of training. It's not deemed to be something that's important. But our body is like a car. You put the wrong fuel in it, you put the wrong oil in it, and it'll all gum up and it'll stop working. And you can go to a mechanic who can change a part, but, you know, if you continue to do the same thing, you're going to break down again. And the body works in a very, very similar way. And we take ourselves for granted too much, I think.
So is that the goal of what you do, is the mission is to get out there and say, look, there's some alternatives? Like, I think it's great that you said that you're not trying to point fingers at anyone, because that's what happens.
Oh,
people
no.
will get their back up and say, well, don't tell me what to eat. Yeah.
No, it's literally, it's like, oh my goodness, I've found this information and it's really, really helpful and I really would love to share it with you. And that's the heart and spirit that I come into it with. And you know, I work on the policy side of things where we've got our government is subsidizing all the wrong kinds of things, recommending at USDA that we eat certain foods and certain quantities of them, but then when the foods that we are subsidizing and putting into our schools are totally contrary to that. So I look to really try and help the system change itself.
And helping the system change itself, if you get somebody young, it's like learning a foreign language. If you grow up and you're bilingual and you're around it, I've seen it, kids mm-hmm. really take to Spanish or French or whatever it is, and it's amazing. There's no necessarily schooling in that. They just were taught it. And I think it would be the same thing with children, because whatever you put in front of them, you know, if you give them potato chips all the time, then that's how a lot of us grew up.
And we're just entrained in
yes.
That's why food is so personal to us, because it's a cultural thing. And that's why we can feel so emotional when somebody starts to suggest that maybe we should think about something different, because we've got all of those attachments, the stories that go with certain foods and, you know, mum or dad cooked it and all those kinds of things. But the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine does a wonderful 21-day kickstart, which is online. And we do it a few times a year. Search 21-day vegan kickstart. You should get the web address. And it's free. You just and every day for 21 days, you get recipes, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You get your shopping list. You get messages from physicians and celebrities who help you along your way. And there's also a conversation chat room so that you can talk to other people and get supported through your journey in transition. And if you like it after 21 days, you might well stick with it for a little bit longer. And you know,
21 days is a habit, right?
Yeah, quite.
Yeah.
So this is just a way to move forward.
I have to ask you a question not related to this, but I was reading your bio, and you said in the bio, I thought this was interesting, that one of your heroes, or that somebody you really admired, was Princess Diana.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so sad to me when I think back, of course, what happened, the tragic accident. But now you see the royals and you see Kate Middleton.
Mm-hmm.
And would it be nice to see her take up that banner, which she might. I mean, she's got so much pressure in the microscope. But, I mean, obviously the accent I detect. you. Do you think that we'll ever have anyone as revered on the royal side as Princess Diana?
Oh, I think that the Brits have really embraced Kate. My mother, for example, you know, I've become a little, you probably won't be able to tell from my accent, but I have become a bit Americanized. And my mother was on the phone to me and she said, "We have two weddings this year." I said, "Oh, really? Who's married? Your sister?" I know my sister's getting married. She said, and Kate. And I said, "Kate and William." I said, "Sorry, who's Kate and William?" She said, "Only the next King and Queen of England, Elizabeth." So, yes, I think that they've certainly kept lots of people of hearts out there. Certainly my mother's, if that's anything to go by.
Oh, you are such a delight. Elizabeth Kucinich, thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
It's lovely to talk to you.
Thanks.
Emergency preparedness plans must include a fast way to start a fire. Fire up instantly with the revolutionary Quick Stove, a compact, lightweight, portable stove that's ready for cooking in less than 1 minute. Quick Stove, the safe, non-explosive fuel source that is an emergency preparedness essential. Quick Stove comes with four waterproof fuel cells that ignite in seconds, burn for up to 90 minutes each, can be lit and relit, and be stored indefinitely. At up to 18,000 BTUs, Quick Stove is ready to boil water in less than 5 minutes and burns hotter than most outdoor stoves. Now, the best part. Quick Stove starts at only $34.99 and comes with a 100% satisfaction or your money back guarantee. Order today at quickstove.com or call 801-784-0225. That's 801-784-0225. Or go to quickstove.com. Click on the discounts tab for multi-unit savings. Quick Stove, quite possibly the world's fastest outdoor fire.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Lots of to walk around the world to ease my troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We are in D.C., and of course, we're talking about health care and all the issues related to it. We're at the latest forum. It's great. Health Action 2012 is the official name, we'll call it. It's really awesome because it's a hodgepodge of people from all different walks of life that are involved in this and all different levels of informing you about what's going on healthcare-wise, things that you would be interested in knowing, like prescription drugs. So we have Dr. Janet Woodcock with us, and she's got a long title. Everybody has a long title in D.C. and outside of D.C., right? It's Director for Drug Evaluation and Research for the FDA. Doctor, we're pleased to have you on the show. I was very excited when I got the note maybe a month ago that I was going to get a chance to talk to you. So thanks for stopping by our little corner of the world here in D.C. We appreciate it.
That's great.
My first question is, because you spent so much of your life researching this, looking into drugs, all that sort of thing, does it scare you to see what's happening in the prescription drug world right now, the abuses and the amount of prescription drugs that are being prescribed to people for all kinds of things where maybe they don't necessarily need it?
Well, I think that, as has always been the case, drugs are both overused and underused in the United States. We know that a lot of people with chronic conditions like hypertension and high cholesterol are not getting the treatment that would prevent them from getting heart attacks or strokes or even dying. On the other hand, we have an epidemic of prescription drug abuse in the United States, particularly opioids and narcotic drugs. And a lot of people are dying from that misuse or overuse of those drugs.
Yeah, speaking of misuse, I was talking to a pharmacist a couple of months ago, and she told me that she'd have people coming in with weird effects for things they were taking because they didn't realize they were mixing certain things, even mixing a simple aspirin, a Tylenol, with some other prescription drug they were taking. How do we solve that riddle?
Well, people really have to help by protecting themselves, all right? That taking multiple drugs is called polypharmacy. And we know if you take more than a few drugs, they're going to interact with each other. It's going to be almost inevitable. And so people really have to read the labels. They have to tell their doctors what they're taking, even dietary supplements, even over-the-counter drugs. Particularly, say something like acetaminophen, all right, or people call it Tylenol, all right. That drug, it appears in many different forms, prescription painkillers, over-the-counter medicines, and so forth. If you take multiple forms of that drug, it can severely damage your liver, perhaps even in a fatal manner, even though if it's taken correctly, it's extremely safe. So patients have a role and consumers in protecting themselves. And if they're taking multiple drugs, they really need to talk to a pharmacist, their physician, and make sure that they're not going to suffer severe interactions.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you're seeing on the research side that would be, you know, we have a wide swath of an audience here. We have young people, and then we have people that are on the older end of the spectrum. What are we seeing that's exciting? For example, cancer treatments. Everybody keeps asking that. You know, somebody sarcastically said to me the other day, oh, well, cancer is a big business, so of course, why would you cure cancer? The person who cures it gets the Nobel Prize, but then all the other money dries up for people who are making a living on this. I choose to be optimistic, and I don't believe that. But what are we seeing in the drug world with cancer?
What we're seeing is the science that's been invested in over the past 40 years by this country, the molecular science, the genomic science, is paying off in new treatments. It used to be that cancer treatments were basically poisons, and you tried to poison the tumor more than you poisoned the rest of the person, and people had severe side effects. And cancers, very few of them are cured. But, of course, the goal is to go to cure of cancer. But what we're seeing is targeted therapy that goes after the tumor in a unique way, all right, and tries to kill the tumor cells without affecting the normal body cells or having such a serious effect. So these new cancer treatments are much more effective for these cancers that have not been curable or treatable. And so that's really good news for people, some of whom are young people, who are getting these cancers, melanomas, adult leukemia, and so forth. So it isn't just a disease of older people. So I think there's a bright news on the horizon for people with cancer.
Yeah. The funding for the FDA and for specifically what you do, if someone says, well, where does the budget go to? Where are the researchers? How many people are involved? What kind of things can you tell us about that? Because that's what this audience will want to know.
Well, the Center for Drugs that regulates the prescription drugs, the over-the-counter drugs, and all the generic drugs, all right, we have about 3,500 people, mostly physicians and scientists. We don't do the research. We evaluate most of the research. And about 60% of the program is funded by user fees that the pharmaceutical industry pays so that we have enough resources to review their drugs and regulate their drugs. And we have a very specialized workforce, as I said, PhD-level scientists and physicians with very subspecialty training that do this work.
In all your years of doing this, I mean, obviously there's got to be a few things. You have the degrees, you have the accolades, certainly. But for you personally, why are you in this game versus something else you could take that, let's frankly, would pay you more money? Why are you doing this?
I think people should do a job where it's worth getting up in the morning and coming to work because you know you're making a difference. And I think almost everyone at the Center for Drugs could make more money in the private sector and is there because they know they're making a difference for the public and the citizens of this country.
Do you think it's, do you feel, you know, you're the safeguard, and when you see things that get through, that has to make your stomach turn when you have the situation with Vioxx, for example, and when you start to see deaths occur because things weren't uncovered or that kind of thing, does that just make you dig deeper or look in certain directions to try to prevent that kind of stuff?
Well, we have set up more extensive safety systems in the last few years. Congress gave us more authority and more money, and so we can be more effective on the post-market safety side. And we're confident that we can catch problems earlier, but we don't have a crystal ball, and we can't predict everything that's going to happen to a drug once it gets on the market. So it's always, there's always some uncertainty about what a drug is going to do once it's out there.
What are the certain levels? Because, of course, it's always about, oh, FDA approval, I have to get FDA approval. Are there pretty rigorous? I've looked into this before, and it looks to me like there are a lot of safeguards, even though, again, sarcastically, people say, well, how could that get through it? I don't understand. But there are. So what are the levels to getting a drug? Let's say I'm the one who creates the drug. I go through my clinical trials. From the time I do that to the time it might get approved, how long are we talking, or is it not a question of length?
It is. It's maybe in the human testing, it's 7 to 11 years before you get on the market, and it might be up to $1 billion worth of research investment in the clinical. Of compounds that are screened by drug companies, only maybe 1 in 10,000 makes it. And of compounds that are tested in people, about 1 in 10 actually make it on the market. So there's a tremendous number of winnowing out and of standards that have to be met all the way along. And even with all that investment and all that winnowing out, we still find that drugs do have intrinsic harm that they cause as well as benefit.
Is that partially because there is no way you can duplicate everybody's system? All our systems are different and operate differently?
That's part of it. And with personalized medicine, we're getting better at avoiding treating people who are at very high risk from the drug, identifying them and screening them out, and also targeting people who will benefit. And so targeted therapy, we hope, is the future, which will result in more effective drugs that are safer,
yeah,
because they take that human variation into account.
Yeah. What would you like to know, would the audience to know about maybe a misconception that they don't understand about the FDA, just in general? And then everybody has a different role, and of course there are many different pockets in the FDA.
Right.
You're one. But what would be the one misconception that maybe sometimes you hear on talk radio or somewhere else that you say, oh man, that's wrong?
Well, I think the idea, people have the idea that FDA has a single standard for drug approval, that's, and some people think it's too strict and some people think it's too loose, all right? But in fact, we have different levels of standards. For example, if you have cancer, untreatable cancer, our standard for getting you a drug to you, a new drug, a new option, is pretty low, all right? Because for you, those potential benefits are going to outweigh the risks. But for a new headache medicine, we're going to have really rigid, strict safety standards because there are already headache medicines that are available for people. Yeah. So we have kind of a sliding scale, and I don't think people understand that on either side of the argument.
You cleared it up. One last question for fun. What does Dr. Woodcock do for fun? Do you go to the movies? Do you ever chillax, as we say?
Oh, well, I have to have a lot of energy for my job, so I work out a lot, and I garden, and I raise orchids, and I do all sorts of things on the inside. Yeah.
Orchids.
Yeah.
Orchids are delicate. They're tough to raise. I've killed, I know, at least 20 in my lifetime.
I can't tell you how many people have told me that.
Dr. Woodcock, you've been a delight. Thank you so much for stopping by America Tonight.
Thank you.